Hey everyone, welcome back. Texas G's podcast. After however long of
it's been quite a
dry spell.
Yes, it has.
We're back from what's that term?
A hiatus.
And then there's another one, furlough.
We're back from furlough, hiatus.
COVID-19 kind of went crazy.
Been a minute.
And then I think what's happened since then?
Well, due to our job, it presented issues. Mm-hmm. So
it's all right. We've just been way too busy.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been wanting to do this another one for a while. What is it? It's the beginning of summer, I guess.
Pretty much, yeah. Kind of more or less.
Wait. I mean, it's hot here. It's been hot here, but.
True.
What else are you going to do, right?
Oh, yeah. So true. The Texas weather. Everybody loves it.
Well, apparently not everybody, but.
Well, for the exception of all the Texas transplants, yeah, that's true.
You got a lot of people that live here only in the winter, and then they move back north. And they get there like, hey, I don't like the sticky heat. It's too humid.
It happens.
That's the ideal lifestyle, I think. Move up north in the summer and then move down here in the winter.
Too much of a hassle, I say.
Oh, trying to live in two places?
Pretty much.
Yeah. I guess it gets easier when you get older, maybe. Maybe that's why people do it when they...
When they retire,
when
yeah.
They get like, makes, yeah, middle age and makes sense. And stuff. Yeah. When you're young, you kind of got to have a different priorities and everything.
Well, to an extent, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, let's see here. What's going on in the world today? Let's see here. Voting's around the corner.
A lot of things.
The 2024 election's around the corner now. And we have so many people running.
Oh, you talk about for the primaries?
Well, for the primaries, for presidential, both on the GOP and the Democrat. Well, so far, only one Democratic.
I don't think anyone's going to try to run against. I mean, we'll see. They're not having debates because Joe said he's planning to run again. So that's pretty typical.
Well, it's kind of hard for somebody with dementia and Alzheimer's to put themselves in a debate.
Well, yeah, I mean
that's hard.
I guess that's beside the point.
I mean, why do you think they screen his questions first? I mean, that's the reason for it. Because he has dementia and Alzheimer's, but yet nobody wants to sit here and claim that he has it. Because the Democratic Party is so... Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, give me a break.
It's like, it's a classic political trope. You know, you have a puppet face, you know, and... Everything's run behind the scenes.
No. There's a redneck term for it. He's a dancing chicken.
Yeah, that's
chicken. All he is.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. Redneck term.
You got to remember, I am the redneck of this group. So, yeah, he's a dancing chicken. That's all he is. That's all he ever will be, is a dancing chicken.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he's 4 years, possibly four more. Somebody brought up the other day... one, change the presidential term should be changed to one term limit, and it should be 6 years instead of up to two terms for 8 years. And I was like, one term limit makes sense because then you don't have to worry about reelection stuff and all that.
To an extent it does, but at the same time, I would rather see the two-party deal go away.
Oh, obviously, ideally, that would be
personally,
awesome.
Personally, because that way we could start really... You know, really looking at people for who they are and what they
right.
are and what they can bring to the table instead of, you know, I'm a Democrat. I need to vote Democrat. Or I'm Republican. I need to vote Republican. You know,
yeah. Well, the thing is that, yeah, it's very divisive. Like, it to the very core of the country is being divided between the left and the right, you know, Democrat, Republican.
Just need to get
whereas,
rid of
it. You know, there's not really the parties aren't unified. If you look at their policies, like a lot of them, there's like half of the Democrats on one side, half of the other side, and then same thing with the Republicans.
Correct. But also you have dinos and rhinos. You know, I get all that.
Yeah.
I get how everything is going and, you know, in the swamp. I get it. But at the same time, you know, we can get rid of all this loyalty BS that they have in the swamp. And we can have it to where, you know.
Of course.
Everybody starts, you know, basically the government can actually start working like the government should be working.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we the people need to, you know, do our diligence, remind them that they work for us.
Precisely.
In Washington, yeah, of course.
We're hiring them to do a job.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's
we're not hiring them to take our constitutional rights away.
Right,
we're
right.
We're not hiring them to, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you really want to,
oh, you're redneck, you're white, you're racist. You know, that doesn't mm-hmm. make any sense. That's completely retarded.
Yeah, if you really want to dig deep in the weeds, it's actually us, the people, that are kind of to blame for how the country has fallen over the years.
Precisely.
So
I agree.
There's no one to blame but the. You know, the people themselves, because we're the ones who keep electing these, you know, people into office mm-hmm. who just hold on to their power. So,
yep.
But I mean,
in all fairness, if the Democratic Party had their way about it, we would actually be like, you know, Nazi Germany back in World War II.
We'd just dictatorship. Mm-hmm. Well, they're trying to introduce gun control as a constitutional amendment. Do you see that?
It can't.
Well, yeah, but it won't pass the states, but you can introduce it as an amendment to the Constitution.
Correct, but it's not going to fly because 27 of over half the states.
Right. No, there's no way. There's no way.
Constitutional carry.
Yeah, there's no way they get more than like 20 states to sign, and not even 20. I doubt it.
I even doubt. There's probably more.
It'll be like 18 or 14 or something that'll agree.
Correct, but there's also probably a few more states that are fixing to jump on this bandwagon of constitutional carry.
Exactly, yeah. So I'm trying to think of the states that will support this amendment. It'd probably be, obviously, California, because Governor Newsom.
California, New Washington, York. D.C.
D.C.'s not a state. I don't think it gets to
You always...
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously Washington.
Yeah, and
you got
Washington State, Oregon State, California,
Oregon,
New York,
Washington State, yeah.
Illinois,
maybe. Yeah. You know, New Jersey, Connecticut.
At least like half of Illinois is going to be on the bandwagon for that.
Right, right. The Chicago half, yeah.
Yeah, the Chicago area,
for sure. You also got like Massachusetts, Connecticut, Rhode Island, mm-hmm. all those urban areas.
Yeah, all those people that want us to be like everything was in Great
Delaware, probably. Yeah, Delaware, Maryland, probably. But other than those, like,
or like it is in China right now. Seriously, they would probably want us to be like China is right now, where you can't speak out on your own behalf. You have to do whatever you're told to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it kind of already is like that, to be honest,
and you,
almost.
And you have to watch whatever the state
propaganda.
You have to watch everything. They can't watch any of, very seldom do they get to watch any American movies. They get to, but they get screened so hardcore. Like any military movies, they don't get to see them.
Yeah. Well, I mean, shoot, dude. Military movies are great and all.
Or if they do get to see them, they get so redacted that
it's... Oh, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like Blazing Saddles. You'll just get the beginning and then the end. That's it. You don't get anything in between.
Right, right.
Well, nowadays, anyway.
Uh-huh. You'd have to cut out everything, pretty much.
Yeah. Love Blazing Saddles, by the way. Such a hilarious movie.
Certified Hood Classic.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, so I know on the Republican side of the equation, there's a lot running for president.
Yeah, yeah. Let me actually, I can pull up the candidates. I mean, I could name just a few of them off the top of my head.
Trump,
DeSantis,
Chris Christie,
Nikki Haley,
DeSantis,
Vivek Ramaswamy. Who else?
I could have swore.
Mike Pence.
Yeah, Mike Pence is on the list.
I don't know. I think I left my phone somewhere. Oh, well.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. Wait a minute, found it.
Oh, there it is.
Declared candidate.
See, typical. There's typical. A couple other no-namers that have no chance. I mean, nobody.
Basic saves paramedic, typical.
Nobody has any chance because Trump has way too much support, if you ask me.
What would be ideal, the two scenarios that would be ideal is Trump runs and wins, and DeSantis waits in the wind. Or
right.
Trump runs and takes DeSantis as his VP. That way, whenever Trump's getting ready to leave office, DeSantis gets tapped to become the next president under the GOP candidacy.
Mm-hmm.
That would probably, those are the two ideal ways of doing this. So, yeah.
Okay, here
just
we are.
Just saying.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, so the favorites right now apparently are Trump and DeSantis. Everybody else is either a contender or a long shot. Nikki Haley, we already said, is declared contender. Mike Pence, contender. Ted Cruz has confirmed to be not running.
Well, duh.
Ryan Binkley is a long shot.
Don't even know who that is.
He's a businessman, pastor from Dallas.
No, here in Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting. I mean, we're right here in the greatest state of them all in the whole entire United States, Texas, and
yeah.
Don't even know the guy.
Well, he seems to be apparently focusing a lot of his focus in Iowa because that's where the first primaries are, you know what I mean? The first
Yeah, that's right. Iowa is normally the first one to start fire everything.
Yeah,
off.
They do the Iowa caucus. So there'll probably be some support for Ryan Binkley in Iowa, which is where you'll probably start hearing about him is when the Iowa caucus gets in the news and all that.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Another long shot, Doug Burgum. Don't even know who that is.
Right. I don't either.
Governor of North Dakota, apparently. So.
Oh, well, North Dakota. Woo!
Chris Christie, another long shot, former New Jersey governor.
Right. I know that.
Larry Elder has declared.
You know what I find funny? Every time I see Chris Christie, I keep on waiting for him to just turn into like Joey every time. I keep waiting for him to go, how you doing?
Yeah, right. I didn't even realize that.
How you doing?
Yeah, how you doing? Yeah, the New Jersey. Yeah. I didn't even realize that Larry Elder had declared. I forgot all about that. Larry Elder, because he was the one that was running for governor in California.
Oh, yes.
During the Gavin Newsom recall.
Right.
Which ultimately failed because California is stupid. They can't even recall their own
governor. They're either stupid for that or the Democratic Party made sure that Newsom stayed in.
Right. That's exactly what they did. Asa Hutchinson.
Just saying.
He's a...
Who?
Asa Hutchinson. He's a congressman, former congressman, two-term Arkansas governor.
Okay. I was fixing to say something. I'm glad I bit my tongue on that one.
Yeah.
Well, because of his last name, it reminded me, I was curious if he was going to be related to Kay Bailey Hutchinson.
Hmm.
But he probably not.
Probably I think that's not. I think that's spelled differently. Hutchinson versus Hutchinson.
However.
Perry Johnson.
Don't have a clue.
Michigan.
Is my thing off? You're good. I can hear
I'm
you.
I'm good on mine? Okay, it's my headphones in.
Yeah.
I'll have to do something.
It's all good.
Okay. But he ran for governor for Michigan, but obviously didn't win.
Well, yeah, because Michigan's, Democratic.
Mm-hmm. Vivek Ramaswamy is another one already. Tim Scott. That's who I forgot to say.
You know what actually might be better is just if all the Democrats just all got together and got on their own island and made their own country and see how well they run it by their by their train of thought.
Yeah, right.
Because technically, the way they're talking of running things is, communism mixed with anarchy mixed with a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, anarcho-communism, yeah.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it's mob rule that they want,
Mm-hmm.
They want the activists to pretty much run everything.
Oh, yeah. Tell me about it. I mean, they're sitting here going after every single person who stormed the Capitol, which I disagree with the fact they did that. Let me be frank about that.
You can't be just committing violence,
but
what I mean?
At the same time, they tried to impeach Trump for inciting a riot after his term.
Right.
But they didn't go after people who actually did incite riots and everything that are part of the Democratic Party. They didn't go after them at all. Zero accountability.
Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, yes.
So, it's a double standard.
It's corrupt, yeah, for sure. I mean, the senator from South Carolina, Tim Scott, you know him, right? He declared that he's running, and people are saying that he's a long shot as well, but I don't know, man. I think he might get some support. We'll see.
It's going to be kind of iffy.
Mike Rogers has said he's considering
whoever that is.
He's a Republican from Michigan, former Intel chair in Congress. So he's been in Congress before, but not. It's been 10 years or 9 years since he was the House Intelligence Committee chair. Yeah. So.
I mean, I know it was during my time. I still don't remember the guy.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
There are possible candidates that are unlikely to run, including Greg Abbott, Kristi Noem, Marco Rubio, Glenn Youngkin. Those are all unlikelies. Everybody else has been ruled out.
I can't see Greg Abbott running for president because...
Yeah, I mean, he was just elected to a third term as Texas governor.
Well, that's beside the point.
And he's kind of satisfied with that, you know what I mean?
Well,
I don't think he has ambition to be a president or nothing.
Yeah, I don't think he does either. But he's burnt so many bridges above him, unfortunately, that, you know, I can't see him going any further than governor of Texas.
You mean with, like, the Washington Republicans? The D.C. Republicans?
A few of them, yeah. He has, whether he knows it or not, but he has.
Yeah, I mean, I don't suspect he'll run anyway. I was surprised. I'm like, dude, Ron DeSantis just got elected. He should just stay as governor of Florida. I mean, ultimately he will if he loses, you know what I mean?
Well, so. True, but the fact remains is you know, he would have had a much better chance if Trump isn't in the mix.
Well, yeah, but Trump wants it again because he gets one more term, technically.
Correct, he does. And, you know, hopefully everybody's woken up to the fact, since they're having to pay more because of what the Democrats have done, that, you know, we get them out of office.
Right. And, of course, they're, you know, the DOJ, Biden, the DOJ, they're... They're trying to do like death of a thousand cuts. They keep indicting him, and they just indicted him a second time apparently today.
Yeah, over stuff that. So if we're indicting him over it, then we need to indict Joe Biden.
Yeah, or impeach him. Yeah,
impeach and indict for the same issues.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, technically, I can count multiple things that Biden can be impeached on. Because there's more than enough evidence to cover it.
Yeah, most definitely, yeah. You know? I mean, obviously it's the Senate that does the impeachment trial, so we don't really have the two-thirds to do anything about it. But
I mean, in all fairness, I think that needs to get rid of, and it needs to be up to the American people about the impeachment more than a bunch of, you know, suits.
How would that work exactly?
Well, I mean, it's televised.
Right.
The trial is televised.
Right.
So after everybody presents their deal, we become the jury.
Okay. So how would that... But juries, don't they have to be unanimous?
To an extent.
Because that's how the justice system works, right? Where you have to have a unanimous decision.
Because basically, you know, actually with voting, it's the majority rules.
Right.
So that's how it would be, is the majority rules, not, you know, you can't have a slam dunk across the board in the U.S. because of the way everybody is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, my God, it's just ridiculous. I mean, you can't, you know, I mean, it's just like in our job. We get people who are really cool, really great people, and then we get some others that are just, you know, you just don't want to deal with them because they feel they're entitled or
right.
They suffer from the medical condition, Karenism.
Karen, yeah.
You know, or Kenism. And so there's no way you could get a majority vote. So it would have to be majority rules. So meaning that, you know, if all the yes to impeach is the most votes, then that's how it goes.
You're saying that...
It's the same thing like with any form of voting. Like when we vote for the president, you know,
Yeah, but voting to impeach just means voting. You mean voting to convict of being impeached, right? You're talking about...
To actually... We the people
to remove the president, right?
Correct.
Yeah, yeah. So to
not the suit sitting in Congress and all that jazz and people who have, you know, I have loyalties to him. I have loyalties to that one. I have loyalties to this one.
You know, but that would have to because I think it's the Constitution, so that'd have to be another amendment.
I get that, you know what I
mean? But so. We'd have to constitutional amendment. And the states would have to approve it.
Technically,
you know, we could do it.
Technically, it's not that hard because guess what? In the Constitution, it basically states that the states have the right to govern themselves.
Of course.
So, I mean, technically, we're governing ourselves by impeaching a person that we don't want there.
Yeah, exactly. But the federal government's a whole separate issue.
It has to be legit. The states
governing themselves.
Right, but it has to be legit for the impeachment. Because like when they first brought up impeachment charges against Trump, it was all bull butter.
Yeah, but the Democrats didn't think so.
No, they didn't because they're, you know, again, where if you look at Biden, we have evidence of him doing quid pro quo. We're slowly finding out that there's probably going to be evidence of him covering up stuff for his son.
I mean, they were saying all that stuff about son. Trump, to be honest. They were saying they had evidence, but they didn't.
They have all this evidence is there for Biden, but it wasn't there for Trump. You know, there was no quid pro quo. You know, Trump withheld, you know, aid to the Ukraine because he understood that Ukraine was always, you know,
corrupt.
Yeah, corrupt.
Yeah, I mean, ever since we installed, and
he wanted to make he wanted to make sure that that president wasn't a corrupt president. He wanted to make sure that this was a legitimate president.
Yeah, you know, Volodymyr and all
that's
that.
That's not, you know, quid pro quo. That's just being cautious. That's just like me or you going somewhere and going, I don't know if I want to buy that, or looking on the internet, you know, especially like wish.com, you know, sitting there looking at it going, I don't know if I mean, it looks good and everything, but I'm afraid that if I order it, I'm going to get something else.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I'm not going to get what's pictured there. I'm going to get something, you know.
Right.
Not that good.
It's like, yeah, what you see on the Amazon and then what you actually get is completely different.
In all fairness, Amazon's a lot better than Wish. Okay, let's be frank about that.
And even Amazon's not that good.
No, they do mess up orders, but that's like almost like going to any fast food joint, if you will.
Right.
They're not always going to be perfect. They are going to mess up orders from time to time. It happens. And it's nothing to get upset about and turn into a Karen or blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. Just
No. Definitely.
Just be all like, hey, y'all gave me the wrong thing.
Right.
What are we going to do about this? You know, that's all you got to do.
Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Amazon's pretty good about taking care of their customers. That I will admit.
Oh, yeah. Great customer service, for sure. It's just funny that, you know, sometimes you don't get what you order.
So. We sent you the wrong thing? Okay, you go ahead and keep that. We're going to send out the correct thing to you.
Right. Oh, yeah, yeah. That's the best case scenario for sure.
Yeah. But, anywho, let's see here. What else is on the horizon besides voting?
Well, we got lots of stuff. I mean, you see what's going on up in the upper, what is it called? The, New England area. I guess it's all the way out into the Rust Belt, too. All the smoke from all the wildfires in Canada.
Yeah, from Canada.
That's actually insane. I haven't seen anything like that in, I don't think, in my lifetime.
And not really. I mean, there's been, like here in Texas, we get, you know, we get the sandstorm or dust storm or whatever from the Sahara Desert. We get,
right,
you know, the King Ranch burns sometimes, so we get that smoke up through here in our area, and sometimes all the way as far as San Antonio.
Yeah, that'll carry for a while, yeah.
Yeah. But and on the scale like it is happening, like in New York and other places, it's never been like that anywhere I know.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad. I'm pretty sure the New Yorkers walk out and go, so this is what California is like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I mean, California, it's like, well, they got pretty good weather. And, you know, well, it's never, you know, there's no storms, hurricanes or nothing, no snow. It's like, yeah, but you guys get wildfires like crazy over there.
And smog.
Yeah, you guys trade one natural disaster for another one. It's not any better.
Exactly. No, I'm not for sure, but I think California's had a hurricane or two. I think.
No, they literally don't get high hurricanes, dude. Hurricanes are only in the Atlantic. If it's the Pacific Ocean, it's either a cyclone or a typhoon. I forget which one. I think typhoon, maybe.
FYI, it's a hurricane.
No, hurricanes are the Atlantic.
Typhoons and hurricanes are the same thing. They're just named different.
Yeah, exactly. It's a different name.
It's
a different ocean.
Look, it's the same thing in the reptile family. Okay, give an example. Here we have, you know, rat snakes. The gray with brown, you know, patternization. In Oklahoma, they're called fox snakes. Mm-hmm. But they're the same thing. There's nothing different about them.
Right, right.
Just their location and the typhoons.
Yeah, so it's a typhoon for California, yeah.
Yeah, typhoons technically are like hurricanes.
Yeah, they're exactly the same type of thing.
Just like hurricanes do and everything else. It just so happens that, you know.
But hurricanes are unique to the Atlantic Ocean, yeah.
Correct, but their location is what dictates their name.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. They don't get hurricanes. They get typhoons, if anything. And they don't even barely get those.
Well, I mean, it's just like, you know, here we have rednecks, okay?
Yeah.
You get to Tennessee and everything, rednecks become mountain men or a different name. They're not really rednecks.
Hillbillies. At that
time, or hillbilly, yeah.
So yeah.
It's just because of where they're at. It's just a different name for basically
And then once the you get out thing. Of Appalachia, it goes back to redneck again in the Midwest.
To an extent, yeah. You're correct.
No, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what they call them. Being from there. So
Midwestern rednecks.
Exactly.
Interesting. Yeah, okay.
No, yeah, dude. Or we just call them country folk, I guess, is another name. But
that sounds more legit than redneck. Redneck's more of a southern terminology.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, I guess Florida, they have a lot of rednecks, right? They call them.
Yeah, you have the Florida rednecks. They're kind of their own little.
I have heard the term up in the Midwest, though. So I'm just saying, like, it's probably started down here is where it like originated, but yeah, it's kind of spread.
Well, you also have to remember it was made as a derogatory term.
Oh, yeah, originally.
Originally, it was a derogatory term, but yet we turned around and said, no, we'll take it. Thank you.
Right. Well, I mean.
And we ran with it.
Mm-hmm.
And we still are to this day. We'll run with,
you know,
redneck day in and day out because guess what? It's not hurting our feelings anymore.
No,
we're not getting upset over it. We're not.
No. I mean, yeah, there's certain connotations that you're willing to accept with that term. So.
Yeah, but.
Pretty much.
I mean, you know, as long as you know me, you know how I am as a redneck. I mean, crime in Italy, you know, you come to the house, you've been to the house, you've...
Oh, yeah, of course.
You know, we take care of each other and everything.
Southern hospitality.
My neighbors...
That's Southern hospitality. That's kind of generally a different thing. Than
most of my neighbors will look at me and be like, hey, we're going out of town, keep an eye out. No problem, got you. Right, as long as I'm home.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that can be associated with redneck, but that's just Southern hospitality in general, I want to say. So a little bit different kind of...
Well, Southern hospitality and rednecks, two different things.
Exactly. That's what I said. They are different.
You know, we are part of the Southern states, and yes, we do have that Southern hospitality. But
Yeah. Honestly, the South and the Midwest aren't that different, because Midwest kind of has the same hospitality mentality. If you
they do, but it is a little bit different.
There's even the states that are
not the same.
No, it's not the same. But there's a lot of states like that have the Great Lakes, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota. Like, they even have this term Minnesota nice or Midwestern nice. You know,
yeah.
That people are just super nice there. Like, people from New York and Pennsylvania, and you know, they go over there for like vacation in the summertime, whatever. And they're like, oh, the people are so nice here. It's crazy. And it's like, well, yeah, because not everyone's in a rush all the time like they are in the big city. You know what I mean?
So, well, not only that, and you know, we do put people away that need to be put away, and we don't let them back out on the streets.
Yeah, our laws actually make sense. Our exactly. Executive, you know, law enforcement, it makes sense. You know, they do their job well. You know, they're
hands down
good people. You know, people are
law enforcement. You can get to know.
They act with integrity.
They'll talk to you. They don't treat you like, you know, you're, you know, scum. And
yeah, some people they don't know like what it's like to be a police officer. They don't know it's like a culture almost, right, of being a police officer. Like, you have
to
a whole different
to an extent. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, there's like a whole group of, it's like you belong to a whole group of people.
It's so. The same thing with, you know, EMS, fire. You know, we're all two separate. We're all separate entities, but in the same day, we're all first responders.
We're all emergency response personnel. Yeah, of course.
You know, we all have to work together, and we learn. You know, we learn to work together with no issues.
Sure, of course, yeah.
And a lot of times, if there's issues, well, you know, we get with people above us about it,
and figure it out.
Then they get with those other individuals, and everything gets worked out. You know, but nobody's feelings are hurt. We're not, you know, we're not out on scenes, you know, calling anybody names or anything like that.
Yeah, and we're not making a scene or nothing. Yeah, of course. We always, you know, keep it professional, obviously.
I mean, it's just like, you know, with one of our areas that we work, you know, law enforcement goes on every single one of our calls now. All they do is they show up and they make sure everything's good. If everything's good, they leave. If we need an extra hand, they're right there. They're all like, what do you need?
Right, right.
We have no problems. What do you need me to do? And that's the way it should be. And that way, you know, everybody sees how positive we work together in the community, and, you know, to make the community better and safer, if you will.
Right, right. Yeah, I mean, and we operate by a code of ethics. It's not like we don't, you know, just show up to work and do whatever we want for the call that day. It's like, no, we have a responsibility to act accordingly. We have a code of ethics to follow.
Yeah, exactly.
Despite, you know, SOPs and all that.
Well, despite what Joe Q Public has to say, too.
Yeah.
Yes, we work for them. We're there for them when they need us and everything.
Right, right. And I, you know, this is kind of a side point, but I looked it up in our protocol book at you know, this one place I was reading. It literally says, err on the side of care. You know, it literally says, like, when in doubt, do what you think is best for the patient. You know what I mean? So we're literally doing the code of ethics within our protocols. Like, well, it's literally our job.
Basically, we're advocates for anybody that comes under our care.
In an acute situation, yeah.
Always.
Of course.
We're the advocates for them. And there's times where we have to kind of, like, push the doctors a little bit to be like, hey, you know, this is what we were dealing with on scene. This is what we were seeing. This is, you know. So that way we can get them kind of, not saying going in the right direction, but they can, you know, run all their standardized tests and everything, and then turn around and go, okay, let's look at this.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
You know, just plant that little seed sometimes, if you will, and hope it sprouts.
Yep. And honestly, I pulled it up. I don't know if I can actually read it right here. The EMS Code of Ethics. Take like a minute or two to read. Is that okay?
EMS, yeah. Go for it.
Let's see here. So this is off of NA EMT.org.
The National Registry?
No, NAEMT.
Oh, okay. Not the NREMT. Okay, got it.
And NAEMT is the National Association of Emergency Medical Technicians. Yes, and it's based out of Clinton, Massachusetts. But anyway, Code of Ethics for Emergency Medical Services Practitioners, EMS, professional status as an EMS practitioner is maintained and enriched by the willingness of the individual practitioner to accept and fulfill obligations to society, other medical professionals, and the EMS profession. As an EMS professional, okay, so that's just the intro, basically,
right?
To the code,
right? Right, got it.
So we do take a. It's kind of like a unwritten oath. I mean, it's written here, but it's like a, what is the term? Like, we don't actually like swear when we go to take the National Registry exam or something like that. But it's one of the things we follow.
We don't take an oath of office, if you will.
Right.
But we basically, you know, kind of follow the same thing like doctors do.
Yeah, it's like an unspoken pledge, yeah. So I solemnly pledge myself to following code of professional ethics to conserve life, alleviate suffering, promote health, do no harm, and encourage the quality and equal availability of emergency medical care to provide services based on human need with compassion and respect for human dignity, unrestricted by consideration of nationality, race, creed, color, or status. To not judge the merits of the patient's request for service, nor allow the patient's socioeconomic status to influence our demeanor or the care that we provide. To not use professional knowledge and skills in any enterprise detrimental to the public well-being. To respect and hold in confidence all information of a confidential nature obtained in the course of professional service, unless required by law to divulge such information. To use social media in a responsible and professional manner that does not discredit, dishonor, or embarrass an EMS organization, coworkers, or healthcare practitioners, patients, individuals, or the community at large. To maintain professional competence, striving always for clinical excellence in the delivery of patient care. To assume responsibility in upholding standards of professional practice and education. To assume responsibility for individual professional actions and judgment, both in dependent and independent emergency functions. And to know and uphold laws which affect the practice of EMS. To be aware of and participate in matters of legislation and regulation affecting EMS. To work cooperatively with EMS associates and other allied healthcare professionals in the best interest of our patients. To refuse participation in unethical procedures and assume the responsibility to expose incompetence or unethical conduct of others to the appropriate authority in a proper and professional manner. And this was originally written by Charles B. Gillespie, medical doctor, and adopted by the NAEMT 1978. Revised and adopted by the NAEMT June 2013. So, yeah. That's the official, pretty much the official NAEMT code.
That works. That pretty much sums up what we do. And
yep. Well, our philosophy, our, you know, our code of ethics.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's how we operate, I guess you could say.
Correct.
Or why we operate the way we do.
Mm, yeah, true. Too true.
And then in actuality, we operate under license of a physician. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Medical director. Medical direction by a medical doctor. They have to be a MD or DO, I want to say, to be a medical director. I want to say that's the official requirement is you have to be a doctor.
Yeah, you have to be an MD, that's for sure.
MD or DO, right?
Yeah.
Which they basically, MD or DO, they basically have the same qualifications in terms of what they can do. It's a different school because osteopathy is a different medical program than a medical school. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Osteopathic medicine, a little bit different, a little bit more broad, I want to say, than typical medical school.
Yeah, I think so.
So, I guess the I mean, modern medicine, honestly, like, it's weird. You have the doctrine and the schooling and everything, but right. Then you have the whole, like, system of, like, the business side of it. That's completely, you know, it's all screwed up, if you ask me. Because it's not a secret. Everyone knows medical care and America is more expensive per capita than anywhere else.
Correct.
So, I mean, we spend more on it, you know, as a nation per capita, and it's more expensive per capita for whatever kind of medical treatment you want. So,
right.
But I mean, at the same time, we do have like the highest medical standard pretty much in the world. You know, broadly speaking, you know, obviously we don't have the highest, you know, what's the term?
Survival.
Life expectancy. Yeah. We don't have the highest life expectancy in the world because we're a very diverse nation, extremely diverse compared to pretty much any other country in the world.
Right.
So, of course, we're going to have an average life expectancy across the board if you think about it. But, you know, can't really do much better.
True.
Well, oh, but countries in Europe have a higher life expectancy. Yeah, but they're not nearly as diverse as we are or as large.
The one that has the longest longevity is New Zealand, I believe.
New Zealand's pretty high. The Pacific South Islanders, I want to say, is pretty high. Japan's pretty high, that area. South Korea's pretty high, I think.
One of
the highest?
Probably, yeah.
As opposed to North Korea, which is... Oh, okay, okay. Yeah, North Korea is like ridiculous, but... Anyways, actually, I can look it up. Top life expectancies, let's see, by nation. Let me just... top nations by life expectancy... Hong Kong is number one. Japan is number two. I guess if we count, but Hong Kong's part of China, though. I think. I mean, I don't know. Hong Kong, it's like. Switzerland is really high, too. Singapore. Oh, I forgot about Singapore. They're really healthy there.
Yeah. Singapore. Cool.
Right, right. The highest. Male life expectancies are in Switzerland.
Sweden, yeah.
Switzerland. No, Sweden is no, a little not bit.
Not Sweden?
No. Sweden's number 13.
Oh, actually, no.
Wait. Okay, no, I'm looking at, yeah. Ooh, Sweden. I was trying to find out top by male. Let me see here.
Well, Swiss actually has really good chocolate.
Yeah, it is Switzerland, yeah. The Swiss. They have good chocolate, yes. So does Belgium. So does...
Belgium.
The Dutch, right?
Dutch.
Dutch Belgium. Is Amsterdam, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess Dutch is kind of both Belgian and the Netherlands. I don't know. Because I think Belgian is like kind of a sub thing of the Dutch, right?
I
mean, Belgian and Dutch is kind of interchangeable.
I always thought they were their own country.
Belgium is its own nation, yeah.
Yeah.
But the Dutch people, you know what I mean, are kind of in Amsterdam, or I mean in the Netherlands and Belgium. Because it used to be called Holland altogether. It used to be all together.
Right. I remember Holland. Every time somebody talked about Holland or showed Holland, it was always with windmills. Never understood that.
Okay, so I'm Googling the difference between Dutch and Belgium, so I'm not saying something wrong.
Google may have it wrong, too.
How are Belgians different from Dutch? Belgium Dutch differs from standard Dutch, but that's the language.
Yeah.
In theory, there is no difference between the Dutch from the Netherlands and Belgium. So the Dutch are a people, and the nations are just the land area.
Okay, so in other words, that would be like Texas, you have rednecks.
Right.
And
so,
then, you know, you have rednecks in Florida and rednecks in, you know, Georgia and all that mess. You know, and then you have the Democrats, then you have the GOP, you know.
Right. Dutch is an official language of Belgium and is the most spoken language in both Belgium and Netherlands.
Cool.
But they're two separate countries now.
Mm. But both of them used to be Holland back in the day. When did they get separated? When did Holland not become Holland?
Let me look up. Holland versus Netherlands. Holland is the same thing as the Netherlands, but let's see here. What is this?
I don't know. You're looking at it.
So apparently Holland is just a province of the Netherlands now.
Huh. Alrighty then.
Because you have like North Holland and South Holland inside of the Netherlands. Maybe Belgium was always its own thing.
Huh. Okay.
And they just used to call the Netherlands Holland. You know what I mean? I think that's how it was.
But, okay. I guess that makes sense. I guess somebody decided, hey, let's just stop calling ourselves Holland and just call ourselves the Netherlands.
Yeah. I mean, after World War II, I think they had to like rearrange like the borders and stuff, right?
Well, yeah, you had a lot of that went on. A lot.
So maybe that's when they did it. They're just like, let's just, since we're rearranging the lands, let's just call them the Netherlands, you know?
Mm, yeah.
So.
Sounds about right. Or maybe somebody was smoking something when they looked at the map and went, oh, that's Netherlands.
This is all we,
Never Neverland.
This is what we call the Netherlands. Yeah. Well, they speak English in the Netherlands like they do in the UK.
Yeah.
And they also speak Dutch.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, but there's a lot of English-speaking people there. It's kind of like if you go to Central America, the Belize, there's pretty much everyone there speaks English, which is kind of crazy. But, I mean, it's the same thing like in the Caribbean. A lot of people speak English, but a lot of people speak French or Spanish or whatever.
Portuguese.
There's all these languages are different.
I think Portuguese over there, too.
Sometimes Portuguese.
English.
Yeah, I mean, especially Brazil. Honestly, the Portuguese focused primarily on just Brazil, I want to say, back in the day. So it's mostly just Brazil. There might be a few islands here and there that are Portuguese. But
yeah, there's actually more places that speak the Portuguese language than what you think.
Oh, no, I'm sure. But there's also a lot of places that speak Spanish. Virtually the rest of South America is Spanish-speaking.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
Because of the conquistadors.
Correct.
From the, when was it? The 1600s? Was it 1516 and 1700s? Yeah.
Somewhere
it was like,
around in there.
It was like 300 years or something there where they were just occupying pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
Colonized.
They were trying to become the new Rome.
Yeah, the Spanish Empire. I mean, it was pretty big. I mean, you had the Spanish Empire, the British Empire, and the French Empire, which were all pretty. Also the Dutch and the Portuguese. That was all they had, a lot of
Portuguese power and influence. Really, really, they were back in that time frame, they were really known for their salesmanship, you know, being sailors.
Right.
They were the to-go-to people for sailing.
Mm-hmm. Trading and all that.
Yeah.
I think, I just saw this. There was like this, was it a movie? I think it was a movie about the, was it Ferdinand? Yeah, Ferdinand Magellan, I think. He's the one who discovered the Strait of Magellan.
I believe so.
In Argentina. Because it was,
as we say here in Texas, Argentina.
It used to be theorized that there was no way to cut through South America to get to the Pacific because they hadn't even known about the Pacific at that time.
Right.
Nobody had seen the western coast of America. They didn't know about the Pacific. So, and of course, I guess nobody had been across Panama either because that's the easiest way to get across to the Pacific, right? But
right, that's before the canal.
Way before the canal. Yeah, way before.
Oh, wait a minute. No, you couldn't pass through there until, because the Panama Canal is man-made.
Yeah, of course. It's that's what I'm saying.
So there was no,
but you could walk across it.
Yeah, you could walk across it, but you couldn't, you know, sail.
Right, but I'm saying nobody even knew about it because nobody had ever walked across it. Like the Europeans had never discovered how thin it was.
You know, it's just like here in the U.S., we gave a guy, told him to take off west and go until you can't go no more.
You talk about like Lewis and Clark?
Yeah, Lewis and Clark expedition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went across until they hit the Pacific Ocean.
Yeah, yeah. That was like much later than like the Fernand Magellan thing, though, I think.
Correct.
So
it's
nobody
the same
had,
concept because nobody in America knew that there was that, you know, how far the land actually went.
They actually went by sea exploring long before they went by land exploring the Western United States.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, because initially they knew about Brazil, obviously. They knew about
back in the day, they believed the world was flat.
Well, the theory was that there was no way to get to Indonesia from by going west. The only way to get there was by going around Africa to the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
But then Magellan had this theory that, oh, maybe there's a strait somewhere in there where I can go cut through South America. Because South America used to be connected to Antarctica.
Right.
Before the waters rose.
Everything used to be clumped together until it spread out.
No. I'm saying the water levels rose. When the water levels were lower, South America was connected to Antarctica.
Correct. But there's theories that all...
And even the map showed it back in the day. They're like, there's no way to get... You know, you'd have to go all the way around Antarctica the other way.
But I'm just saying there's maps that also show like Asia, America, Russia, we were all one big giant continent.
Like physical maps that have been measured out and everything?
Supposedly.
Well, okay, so...
It's a theory.
So the maps that you might be thinking of are before the water levels rose. Because
like
before the water levels rose, there was a land strait you could walk from Russia to Alaska, right? The Bering Strait.
That's the Bering Strait.
Yes. So you used to be able to walk across it.
No, you can. You still can.
Well, because of the ice?
At certain times of the year,
Because of the ice?
Yeah, because it all freezes over.
And right.
You can literally walk from the U.S. to Siberia from that point.
Right, during the winter. Yeah. I guess when it's frozen, yes, you could, but it would be too cold and... Why would you want to do that in the first place?
But no, literally, if I don't know if you've ever seen pictures from the Bering Strait.
But I'm saying it used to be ground. Like
it's not
solid ground.
It's really,
it's not.
The distance is not that far.
No, it's only about like 75 miles or so.
Give or take.
Yeah, it's not super far. But I mean, still, that's a long walk if you think about
it. But I think it's like directly in the middle is what separates Russia from the U.S.
Yeah, we take half and half or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. Something like, it's either that
we
or
get
there,
we get all
a,
the
or there's a little bit of it that's considered international waters. I'm not for sure.
Oh yeah, most of it I'm sure is international. Yeah, because I think by international water rule you can only claim like 20 miles or something like that, some weird number.
Well,
it might be 50.
Well,
I don't know. Is it 50 or 20? What is the international water rule?
It's 9 nautical miles.
It's only 9?
Yeah, from the coast of Texas, 9 nautical miles. Once you go past the 9 nautical mile mark, you're in international waters after that.
Okay, so it's only 9 nautical miles then.
Yes.
So okay, so yeah, it would be mostly international then.
Whatever.
But we also have all the Aleutian Islands and all of their 9 miles and all that stuff.
Whatever so. 9 nautical miles transfers into regular miles. I don't know.
Right. Well, they're almost the same. It'd be like 9 something or 10 something or 8 something. You know what I mean? In physical miles. I think a nautical mile is a little longer than a regular mile. So it'd be, or is it a little shorter? Shoot, I don't even know. It's a little longer or a little shorter, but it's not too much.
Well, look it up.
Yeah, I could do that real quick.
What nautical miles to miles? Or nautical miles to regular miles?
Yeah, so a nautical mile isn't... Let's see here. A nautical mile is longer than a mile.
Okay.
So one nautical mile is 1.15078 miles. So 1.15 to round, you know what
so
I mean?
So if it's nine.
9 nautical miles
mm-hmm.
is 10.357 miles. So, yeah, 10 something miles.
So almost like 10 and a half miles.
10 and a third.
Yeah,
give or take.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Now we're cooking with Crisco.
10 miles and.
So basically 10 miles and a third.
And a third, yeah.
Is what separates like U.S. waters from international waters.
Right. Well, U.S. land from international waters.
Right.
And we get those amount of waters as our sovereignty.
Correct. Let me see here. Oh.
But yeah, the old maps were crazy, dude. Like they showed, they showed, you know, Antarctica being connected to South America, which because, you know, the water was higher or the water was lower. Let's see here. Oh, there's actually an island in between Alaska and Russia.
There's what? What'd you say?
There's a few islands in the Bering Strait.
Correct.
And they're only about like 20 something miles away from land.
Yeah, see, that's the Bering Strait,
right? Yeah, there. you got Diomede and Big Diomede, the Diomede Islands.
Yeah.
But obviously you're not going to be going to the Arctic Ocean to cross to the Pacific. You're going to be going through at first they went through the South Atlantic. Crossed through the Magellan Strait. He discovered it. Magellan Strait.
Take that. I think this little piece here is part of.
And then they had to go all the way through the Pacific, and it was bigger than they thought. And then they finally reached Guam. And then they finally reached Indonesia eventually. After going through a couple more islands, I think. Oh, my God. Yeah. It was a cool movie. I liked it. It was it very like the pacing was very weird because it just skipped all over through the events. You know the what you call well documented events that they did.
Right.
But they did find Indonesia, and then half of them wanted to go back the way they came, and the other half wanted to go back the traditional route, which is through the Indian Ocean and around Africa, because they're like, hey, we know the traditional route better. You know what I mean? So. I think it was like 8 ships or something, like 4 went one way and 4 went the other way or something. It was weird. There was a whole lot of drama. Like it was almost a mutiny type of thing.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Hey, we found the shortcut. Forget about it. Let's just
actually,
take the longer
route. I don't even know if it was a shortcut. I think it was actually longer the way that they found. But they proved it was possible to go that way.
No, true.
And the other countries had like a monopoly on the trade routes, the traditional trade routes and stuff. So that's why they wanted to just go back the way they came, because they're like, hey, we don't want to risk, you know, getting in trouble with these other countries. Yeah. Because, you know, it's like patents pretty much, you know what I mean? Like, oh, only we have, you know, we have control over this design, this function, whatever.
Yeah, like the West Indies Trading Company and mm-hmm. stuff like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, like they literally had the monopoly on the trade route. And
yes,
they would, you know, charge people with, you know, illegal trading or something based off of their laws, you know. They're like, hey, you guys are flying this flag, you know, this is, you know, violation of the treaty or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the West Indies Company, yeah. Yeah, that's kind of almost like.
There was a whole lot of drama with trading back in the
day. Well, that's kind of.
There still is a lot of drama with trading.
Was it like, back in the cowboy era, you had the detectives.
The sheriff?
No, they were called detectives.
Okay.
I'm trying to remember.
Posse?
No. No, they're a famous detective group. And they were owned by I want to say like banks or train companies or something. Something detective agency. It's on the tip of my tongue. And I should know
the about Pinkerton.
Yeah, Pinkertons.
Pinkerton National Detective Agency.
Right. Yeah, they were, it was, they were basically guns for hire for banks and all that kind of stuff. If somebody started treading into their territory, you know, trying to scoop their area kind of deal.
Right.
So,
yeah. I mean, that thing still exists today. Pinkerton National Detective Agency. It's still around. It's just, you know, it's a private security contractor. It still exists.
Yeah.
Because corporate structures, they're kind of, once they're there, they're kind of there. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, Pinkertons have been around since, you know, the cowboy era. Cowboy days.
Mm-hmm.
They were the ones that you, you know, brought in when you had issues.
Right. The there was a lot of outlaws back in the day, a lot of trouble with them, especially in the West, right?
Correct.
There was a lot of
thievery and robbing going on.
A lot of chaos, yeah. A lot of
stagecoach robbery.
A lot of anarchy. Robberies, yeah.
You know, those kinds of things.
It was difficult to maintain law and order.
It was. But at the same time, it pretty much wasn't. Because back then, you know, everybody was taught, you know, you can do whatever you want, just leave everybody else well enough alone.
Right, right.
You know, I mean, yeah, some places in the cowboy era had higher murder rates than a lot of places nowadays do. So that's not unheard of.
Yeah, and I don't know if you knew this, but Pinkerton himself, he served in the Secret Service Intelligence Division of the War Department, which is now what, the Defense Department?
Yeah, that's called Military Intelligence. Those are words that don't belong together.
Military intelligence?
Yeah.
Well,
if you talk to people
in
in the military, they tell you that they don't belong
together. In a lot of places, yes, but at the end of the day, there are some very, very, very brilliant individuals in the military at the top, you know, or in the middle, the officers.
So true. So true.
But I want to say now it's called the Department of, yeah, it, let me see here. The War Department existed from 1789 until 1947 when it split into the Department of the Army and the Department of the Air Force. And then they later joined the Department of the Navy under the Department of Defense in 1949. So there was a whole thing where they're like, you know, because it used to be called just the Department of War, the Correct. War Department.
War Department.
Yeah, but now it's all called the Department of Defense.
Yeah, the DOD. The DOD.
And that's why we call it defense spending instead of war spending. The national defense, a.k.a. we're sending people to other countries.
No, because the U.S. believes in, you know, the best defense is to have a good offense.
Right, the best defense is a good offense, yeah.
Yep. So.
And that's true. I mean, we do have the best defense of any nation.
What, all of our stealth aircrafts have the smallest signatures of anybody else's in the world.
Yeah, I mean, our physical
just war, don't know about the Dragon yet.
Our logistical,
I mean, from China.
Well, our logistical wartime capability is far and away above.
Because I know Russian's fifth gen fighter has a huge cross.
There's a bunch of issues with everyone's Chinese and Russians. Ours is far and away the best. The F-22s.
Raptors.
And even the 35 Lightnings and all them. Those
are Lightning 2s.
Pretty good. Now, you know, the whole GPS stuff is kind of unreliable in certain areas, but most areas were far and away dominant.
I think the vast majority of our stuff works off satellite capabilities.
Exactly.
Now, not GPS.
Well, satellite GPS. Yeah. I mean, GPS is global positioning system, which is based off satellites.
Yes, but satellite capability and GPS capabilities are technically kind of separate.
Yeah, I mean, they're not exactly the same. Not all satellite capability is GPS, but all GPS is satellite.
Because I know a lot of stuff that's in our arsenal, if you will, are satellite capable.
Yeah, no, most definitely. And it's been like that for a while. Mm-hmm. We put a lot of money into national defense. But it's all being undermined because of the southern border is wide open. So,
yeah, why?
We're literally being invaded, you know, across Texas border,
daily basis.
Texas border, New Mexico border, Arizona, even California. They have like the least border.
But California's a sanctuary state; they can handle it.
Yeah, well, have you seen what's happening in New York? They're suing the other cities that are like refusing to harbor the undocumented people.
I know.
Which is weird because like why is a city suing all these other cities when it's just the state that should be like over everything? You know what I mean?
I don't know. States are supposed to govern themselves, not
exactly. And now it's the cities that are bickering and arguing and filing lawsuits and
yeah,
it's just a whole. Well, New York City's like there's too many of them. It's like you guys are a sanctuary city, right? Like
before too long, you know, those states y'all are probably going to be nothing but anarchy.
Yeah, y'all might have to exactly. They might have to change their sanctuary city status to not sanctuary city anymore if it gets bad enough. I mean, the mayor's not going to want to do it. That's why they're suing these other cities. Like y'all do this some of this work too. I don't know. Is New York a sanctuary state?
No, either. I don't know if the state is itself, but I know New York City is. That much I do know. If I remember correctly.
Okay. New York is a sanctuary state.
Okay.
So these cities are supposed to harbor anybody, but they're not. They've signed emergency measures to prevent
those cities turned around and started suffering from NIMBYA.
Yeah.
NIMBY. Not in my backyard.
So there are only 5 sanctuary states. I didn't know that. Did you know that there's only 5? California, New York, Washington State,
Oregon.
Nope, not Oregon.
Ooh, really? Not Oregon.
Oh, not Oregon. It's Hawaii and Vermont are the other two.
Wow. Hawaii.
I want to be a refugee. Can I go to Hawaii? Right? They have to accept me.
You know, I've never been to Hawaii.
And me neither, but I have family there.
It's not that I don't want to go. I do want to go to Hawaii. But a lot of stuff I've seen on, you know, TV and in movies that they shoot in Hawaii. Mm-hmm. It looks so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
So, so beautiful. And then again, there's also other parts of it that, you know, I don't want to be anywhere near. Oh, here's a fun food of thought for you. In Hawaii, the air ambulance service is actually military Blackhawks.
Cool.
From military base there in Hawaii. So, which is really, really cool.
Right. Blackhawks are awesome.
One of my favorite helicopters by far. And it's funny, when they designed that whole entire helicopter, they designed it for one thing and one thing only. It wasn't designed for the roles that it does now. It was actually designed to crash.
Oh, yeah.
Designed it for survivability of crashes.
Which is crazy because, like, in that movie, the pilots died when those Blackhawks went down.
Well, you also have to remember they were hit by RPGs.
Right.
So they didn't.
Yeah, they went into like a tailspin.
They went down in ways that normal helicopters do not go down.
Oh, okay. So,
you know, that's, you have to understand, you know.
Oh, you're talking about designed to crash in terms of like mechanical failure or something like that?
Yeah.
Oh, I see. You know,
the seats are designed to give upon impact.
Interesting.
Or not give, but like cushion somehow.
Sure, to cushion falls and all that.
You know, and the.
I guess it makes sense.
It's a lot of engineering went into that, so
yeah,
that's above my pay grade.
They did the best. They did the best that they could think of.
Oh yeah,
to do yeah,
yeah. But you know, you got to remember, yeah, Mogadishu. We should have never went there.
Oh yeah, in Somalia.
Yeah, should have never went to that mess.
That was a yeah. I mean, the general who
I just don't understand
organized the whole operation. He ended up like retiring early or something like that.
You know, the whole entire United States has to be the world's police.
You know? Yeah, it was like a humanitarian crisis or something. That's why we went in or something.
I get that.
I mean, there's humanitarian crisis all over the world. But that's
NATO's job.
Exactly, exactly. Well, I mean, US's we are job. NATO, to be honest.
No, we're part of NATO.
Yes, we're part of it, but we are the main...
NATO's job is for humanitarian aid.
Right.
We help, well, help supply NATO with what they need for humanitarian aid. You know, like the humanitarian rations, for example,
I mean,
is one of the things we do for, mm-hmm. you know, humanitarian.
Well, you said the design. It's not the design. It's just the philosophy.
Yeah, that's what
the design is actually for, unified defense if in case of invasion from Russia or something.
Correct. Okay. NATO is designed for, you know, unified defense. That mm-hmm. is correct. You know, if you mess with one NATO, you mess with
yes.
us all.
Yes.
That's
the main thing. Yeah.
But.
And it's also supposed to, like, we're supposed to be holding these other countries accountable to spend money, you know, 2% or whatever I think it is, on their defense.
Correct.
Which none of them do, but we don't do anything about it.
No.
We cover their slack.
So true. So true.
But, I mean, it is what it is. What are you going to do?
Yeah, I know.
Europe is, you haven't, microphone performance issues over there.
I'm going to need some Viagra with this thing.
It's a common issue.
Let me see if I can't get it to work that way.
Is that what she said?
Right. A little more to the left. A little more to the left. Okay. We need to behave.
Sorry, children.
What's that? What's the guy?
Uncle Roger.
Yeah, Uncle Roger.
Uncle Roger.
Sorry,
children.
I love that guy.
No, you don't put a full yawn in fried rice. Yeah, Uncle Roger, he's freaking hilarious.
He's funny, but he's actually got a lot of talent too.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
he
yeah.
can make some good fried rice.
He went on tour for a while there.
Oh yeah,
yeah. He was going around to different states and stuff like that, different countries and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And his signature orange polo shirt.
Yeah. I always love when he says, like, "Fool yo," you know.
Fool yo.
It's hilarious. Hiya.
Hiya.
Hiya. It almost reminds me of that movie, Gods Must Be Crazy. Have you seen it?
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes, "Oh, yeah, 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 yeah."
Yeah.
Oh, man.
My good favorite part is the Coke bottle hitting the dude in the head.
I mean, yeah.
Just thrown out of the airplane.
Yeah. Oh, man. That's another certified hood classic, dude.
Oh, yeah. They made a second movie, by the way.
Yeah, the second one. Yeah, yeah. I think I've seen both of them when I was a kid. Like a long
but
time.
The first one is by far the best. Oh, definitely.
Yeah, yeah. It was a sequel.
Second one is good, too.
Suffered a little bit from sequelitis, but.
Correct. But. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't as good as the first one. God, mm-hmm. I love that movie. Now I'm going to have to watch that movie again.
It's good. It's good. Yeah, I haven't, like I said, it's probably been like 15 years at least.
No, it's been a minute for me too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But like, I always wondered, like, is that why like people say, yeah, 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 is because of
probably.
Because people say that all the time. And it's like a common thing. Like, oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's like, I mean, that's the only movie I've seen it from. I don't think, I mean, I'm sure it's in other movies, but
Yeah, it's been in other movies, but that's only like the main one. I've only known it from first ever hearing it in that movie.
Right, and right.
After that, yeah,
it was. It kind of became like a cultural type of what's the term? Illusion, maybe. I don't know.
No, it was just one of those terms that you picked up kind of easily.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like we kind of appropriated it.
I mean, it's kind of like, you know, I mean, like in the WWE, you know, you find that niche, you know, like Stone Cold Steve Austin. It was Austin 316 that really.
Austin 316 says, yeah.
Dude, yeah.
That guy. It's hilarious. Exactly. He's just
the bottom line because Stone Cold says.
Bottom line.
And he hit two home runs with that, as he called it, his two home runs.
Oh, yeah.
With those two things. And everybody just started running with it. It was.
Yeah, man, you went over the crowd, right?
It became cultural norm at that point in time. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing with the I. It after that movie, it became a cultural norm.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things us humans do.
Technically, those are what we call memes today, right? Became a meme. People like say it in a certain way, you know, use it and like
more
political,
less, yeah.
Like political, what are they called? Political cartoons? Those are like the original memes, right? Although those are different.
Actually, I believe before they were known as political cartoons, I do believe they were referred to as political editorials.
Oh, for real?
Yes.
Editorial cartoons?
No, just political editorials.
Oh, interesting. It
would be either in cartoon form or in
opinionated, you know, like essay, yeah, or whatever. Exactly. Column. I mean, they still do columns, but
yeah,
nobody reads columns anymore.
No.
not since the internet. I mean, well, yeah, pretty much, right? I mean, because you had blogs for a little bit, and then now everything's vlogging and videos and, you know, video essays and, you know, content, other types of content. Podcast creation. Yeah, podcast is a recently become very popular audio format.
Well, yeah,
because I mean, people love listening; they love using their ears. You know?
There's that, but it kind of. I hate to compare it to this, but it's almost like hand operators.
Mm.
You know, podcast is probably the same thing. The only difference is we're not sitting in a room talking on a radio to another individual.
We're
talking to an audience,
right? More right, than right. One. Yeah, you know, I mean,
it makes it a little bit different than, but it's kind of the same concept. Just
instead of being broadcast on radio waves, it's being uploaded on the internet. And,
yeah,
yeah.
Then anybody can.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, exactly. That's exactly what a podcast is. Yeah, it's like almost like radio because radio is audio only, you know.
Right.
But instead of being on radio waves, it's just on the internet. It's just easier because it's hard to get on the radio. Like you have to like.
It is hard to get on the radio, but at the same time, you know.
I mean, in relativity compared to just starting a podcast, anybody can start a podcast.
You also have to go to school to become a disc jockey, if you will.
Oh, do you?
Yeah,
you have to learn a little bit of audio disc jockeying and all that.
Yeah, and it's changed from back in the, what, the 60s and 70s where you had the 8-tracks.
Oh, yeah, then, it's changed, you know, a lot. Went to studios, yeah, I mean, they're
the CD players now, yeah. Now everything's controlled on the computer. You know, the song list is all on the computer now and everything.
Right, the old adage of course, you have inflation, right? So inflation plus technology differences. You used to pay like, how much was it? Like 10, 20 bucks to go see a rock concert with rock stars like, you know, Guns N' Roses or something. And then now it's like $100 to go see a laptop live. You know what I mean?
Right. No. Concerts are still, you know, fairly inexpensive, depending upon where you live. Let's be frank about this, because, you know,
yeah,
prices like in California and New York are obviously
they have to charge more. Yeah,
than what's here in Texas,
operating costs are going to be higher. Yeah, of course.
So, you know, like what the average ticket that I've paid for has been $45.
Yeah. Oh no. Yeah, it's definitely cheap. Yeah.
So, you know, that's not. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not including service charges and taxes and all that. That's
no, just the ticket itself. Yeah, the ticket sale price. Yeah.
Yeah, but that's then about, again, yeah, it, right. it goes, you know.
But, and, like, I'm talking about, like, these festivals and, you know, that people go to, like, to see these popular DJs, you know.
Oh, yeah.
They yeah, cost the, a lot of money
the computerized for turntables now that do all the scratching. They don't literally
it's have, digital scratching, yeah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They don't have, you know, actual records on like they used to do.
Right, back these turntables. The yeah, the turntables are completely different.
Like
yeah.
Run DMC when they came out, and you know they had two turntables, and mm-hmm. you know it was all
physical. Yeah,
yeah,
like records. Like they mm-hmm. were actually literally yep. like record scratching.
Where nowadays you just go spend $6,000 to $1,000 for this deal, and
yeah, hooks exactly.
to your computer and. You can anybody can do mm-hmm. all that mess for
that's why people say it's a laptop, you know, it's just yeah. you're going to see a laptop perform mm-hmm.
pretty much
because the laptop's doing a lot of the work. All you're doing is just making some adjustments on this board, whatever soundboard,
yep,
you know, and it's a lot easier to get into than it used to be, I'm sure, because you have to like actually like learn it.
I mean, back that's in the day. What that's
you're
that's
still learning it, but it's different.
Well, see, like one of the places that yeah,
you it's know, like learning to be a pilot. Back in the day, everything was analog. You had like 1,800 switches you know, in the cockpit.
Well, it's like me and the family. We like to go see the Spasmatics.
Yeah,
and we usually go to Brewster Street downtown.
Right, right.
And they have somebody that sits there and works an actual mm-hmm. board
turntable. Yeah.
No.
Oh yeah.
The audio sound system board.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you know, he controls how all the mics sound and how all
the sound system
everything,
yeah.
mm-hmm. you know, how everything's going. Mm-hmm. And it's you know, considered by today's standards old school.
Oh, for sure, for sure.
Because all the newer stuff is computer mm-hmm. and whatnot.
Yeah, I mean, you're still going to need audio equipment, obviously, but it's going to be newer, you know.
Yeah, well, everything now, all the newer stuff is going computerized.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but I don't know. I don't know that many people that have an actual landline anymore.
Hey, Gen Z be like, what's a landline? What is that? Like, I heard this joke. Someone was like, some young person was like, how about we just have, instead of everyone having their own phone, how about we just have a family phone, okay, and it's like on a wall in the house somewhere, anyone can use it. And it's like, you mean like a landline?
take it from somebody that used to have one of those.
And people are like, what?
I had one of those growing up on the wall in the house.
Okay. Yeah, a wall. You had it on the wall and everything. Huh?
Yeah, and not cordless either, all right?
Corded, yeah.
It was corded. Mm-hmm. And
I think my first phone I remember having was a corded, but I don't think it was on the wall. I think we just kept it on the counter.
But you got to remember, I had two other brothers. Mm-hmm. So we were all jockeying for phone time with our girlfriends
and everything. Of course, you had to. Yeah. Everybody had to share the phone, yeah.
And
if it was busy, you had to wait until it wasn't busy.
And my parents would get upset because I'd, you know, we'd fall asleep on the phone with our girlfriends. We'd go get a sheet, blanket or something, yeah, pillow, lay down there on the phone.
It used to be a time-honored tradition that young people would talk each other to sleep on the phone because yep. they couldn't be, you know, they weren't with each other. Yeah, no, very common. Yeah, of course.
That was so common in my house.
That's even not that far back. That's like 90s, early 2000s even. Well, you know, people started to have cell phones. For sure in the 80s, yeah. For sure in the 80s. And then, but the 90s, people hadn't quite had cell phones yet. Yeah. They would just talk on the phone.
Well, what? My parents, my dad, cell phone he had that he ever got, two of them actually, they were bag phones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We
plug them into the cigarette lighter.
Right, right.
They during certain hours, couldn't touch them.
Mm-hmm.
But after 7 o'clock at night, we could get on them all we wanted to.
Right.
Because
right.
it was free after that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. we still used the.
During those other hours from seven, mm-hmm. from like sometime in the morning till seven at night, you would be charged by the minute completely.
Oh, yeah. Even.
Mm-hmm. So it was emergency use only, complete emergency use only. Nothing else.
Right.
After 7 o'clock, you can do whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, and
it's called peak hours, actually, is what it was called.
That's,
peak
yeah, hours. Exactly. Yeah. That's how the bill would work or whatever, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty much. For sure. Yeah. For sure. That's crazy. Now it's just the plans for these cell phones are just unlimited everything, unlimited talk, text, data, all of it's all in one just big bundle because it's become so efficient that you only need to charge like 30, 40 bucks, a pop per month instead of it used to be like 50, 60 for talking only on the phone. You know what I mean? That was the phone bill, was just talking. There was no texting. There was no data.
Oh, yeah.
No internet.
Mm-hmm.
And then texting became big next with cell phones, right? Cell phones during the 90s and 2000s, texting became really popular.
I think businesses are the only ones that still have landlines.
Pretty much. Everything is texting now. And then after texting started, then that's when the iPhone came out. And then data, all that. So I think the BlackBerry was like phased out pretty quickly by the smarter phones like the iPhone and the...
Well, at the time, the BlackBerry was like the...
The most popular cell phone for a little bit, it was.
And there's still people today that wish they still had the BlackBerry. I know it sounds funny, but there's some of them that do.
Yeah, no.
They like the fact that they had the keyboard.
Right. It's a unique thing, yeah.
Let me have that keyboard.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's digital keyboards on your phone screen.
One of my friends had a slide and slide it up, and there was the keyboard underneath.
Yeah, flip phones or slide phones, whatever.
A slide phone.
I used to have this phone where you would slide it up and it would flip and rotate. It was cool.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like instead of just sliding straight up, it would flip as it slid. It was really cool. I liked it. And then you would just, it would be a keyboard.
I had a Motorola Razr at one point in time, flip phone.
Yeah, Motorola Razrs were big for a little bit.
Oh my God, talk about texting on that thing. Like, oh. It's not like it is now.
Yeah, because you had to do like 1, 2, 3 taps.
And, yeah. Depending upon what.
Same thing with the Nokia brick phones,
Mm-hmm. You had to do the same thing on those. The dinosaur era of texting. Some of these generations will never know the horror that we went through growing up. I remember rotary phones.
Oh yeah, before the dials, before the buttons for the numbers.
Mm-hmm. Before
it
push button.
It was rotary dial.
Yep.
Those are antiques now, rotary dials. Mm-hmm. And I want to say even regular landlines with just where you would push the buttons, those are almost becoming antiques.
Yep. A lot of them are. So true. Matter of fact, one of the phones we had on the wall was a repop. Well, not a, yeah, a repop of a of an old school phone, but it had the touch on it. But it looked looked like it had the rotary.
It was like a novel design, pretty much.
Yeah, retro design, whatever.
Yeah, retro.
Repop, basically. I mean, it was actually a neat little phone. I liked that one.
Yeah, man, the rotary phone goes back to 1890s, man.
Mm-hmm.
1892.
Yep.
1904 was like the commonly, the finger hole one. Because before the finger hole, they had the other rotary, with you would just like rotate it, but there was no finger hole. You know what I mean? But still, that's...
Well, even before that, all you did is you picked up the phone and the operator would come on the line and go, how can I help you? And can you connect me to
this blah, address? Blah, blah. It would be by address, right?
Either by address or something.
Yeah, like that. in the they did that in the early 20s, yeah.
Stuff like the 20s.
Because most people didn't even have the rotaries, yeah. Mm-hmm. So you would just pick it up and be like, connect me to this address, because the phones were listed by the address, physical address. Yeah, because I was watching Peaky Blinders. That's how they did it. He goes, connect me to 664, Brown Street or something, whatever it was. And they'd be like, okay, and they'd connect them right there. That's how it would, you're getting a call.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man. Like you'd have to know the address of the phone because there was no phone numbers, But hey.
Well,
it's interesting how that works.
In the 80s and 90s, if you didn't know something, you dialed 411.
Right. 411 you could kind of
for get info some, and you tell them they'll come on what state, Texas.
Uh-huh.
what city? San Antone. What are you looking for? You know, looking for, you know, like the North Star Mall. Okay, no problem. Here's the number. Do you want me to connect you to it? Yeah. Well, it'll cost you this much for the connection fee. That's fine. Go for it.
Right. So they would charge a fee and everything.
The small fee, like 15 cents, 20 cents.
Right. Just a small fee, but like they would like assist you with connecting mm-hmm. with the phone. And then the Yellow Pages came out.
Well, you could still use with even when the White Pages and Yellow Pages came out, you know, the phone book, if you will.
Yeah,
the
phone book.
Which some generations won't know what that means.
Well, we have the internet now.
Yeah. When you called 411, you could do everything I just said, even though you did have a phone book, because there was, you know, you had
sometimes you didn't feel like looking it up.
No, it wasn't that. It was the fact that, you know, okay, I know this is a new business and
newer businesses and stuff. Yeah,
you know, they're not in the phone book.
You'd have to get the new edition of the phone book and everything.
But this is before the new edition came out, so you had to use 411
in between editions. Unless you knew the number already, but...
Precisely.
Uh-huh. That's why people used to have business cards. I mean, they still have business cards, but...
Yeah, they still...
That was super popular because, you know, when you're a new business, you need cards so they know your number. Yeah.
Yep.
Man, it's crazy how times have changed so much, dude. Everything is online. Mm-hmm. Literally everything. Like, oh, man, it's crazy. Shoot. You know, what would happen, you know, the whole world would go crazy if there was like an internet blackout. Cause like, I don't know if we can physically go back at this point.
Kids nowadays would not be eligible to survive without a cell phone. They could not. There is no way.
It's become an addiction that people don't know how to live without. Yeah. Which is crazy. I didn't even have a smartphone until like the week before I graduated high school.
I don't have, you know, this right here is probably maybe my third or fourth smartphone.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't really get anything like this until I was with my wife that I'm with now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's only been for me, it's only been 9 years. Since I've had smartphones. I mean, it feels like a long time, but it also hasn't been that long.
Well, it's the same. I mean, it's like I've always had one.
Right.
What it feels like.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But yet you give me one of those old school Nokias, I'll know how to operate it.
Oh, sure.
The old school flip phone Razor, I can operate that puppy.
Sure, definitely.
You give me a rotary phone, I know how to operate that. Mm-hmm. You give me the push button phone, I know how to use those too. Mm-hmm. I mean, we had wild ones back in the day, so
mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, my mom still uses a landline for the house, but it's cordless. It's got a battery and everything.
Yeah, you know, well,
charging station and all that.
Well, when me and the wife first got together, we had a line. There was a landline there at the house,
mm-hmm.
and
we
had cordless phones. So
yeah, I think the only reason that I ever used it was to call if like my mom wasn't picking up her cell phone. That's the only
reason. Do you know why
we
had a landline?
Why?
Because we're talking dinosaur era internet.
Sure. Call, dial up and all that.
Yeah, the dial up internet. You had to have a landline in order to have.
Oh
internet.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Because it was that's how it operated. Yeah.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, the struggle was real.
Oh yeah, you'd have to wait to connect and it would take forever just to mm-hmm. establish a connection, and
yep.
sometimes it wouldn't work and you'd have to redial up or it would crash and you have to redial up.
You know, then you had to have what I think the first one to jump on board all that was AOL.
Oh, we talk about so, AOL chat.
Yeah, internet chat. America Online, I think, is what AOL stood for.
I don't even know. Yeah.
I don't remember because it's been.
But I just remember hearing the. You know, dial up noises.
Uh-huh. The struggle is very.
And I remember thinking that was like fast. Like it was relatively quick because we didn't have anything faster, you know? So we didn't have nothing to compare it to.
I think it was. What the dial-up came out in the 80s, I believe. Mm-hmm. Well, actually, a little bit sooner than that because...
No, it would have been the 80s or 90s.
No, actually, it was a little bit sooner than that because the way you had to do it back in the day is your modem was separate. Okay?
Right, right.
And you would pick up your landline and you would put it on the modem. You'd take the receiver and you'd put it on the modem and then...
No, it was the 90s.
And then do that.
Yeah.
No, it was actually before that, too. Because what I'm talking about happened way before the 90s. And I know that. But the only people that had that capability at the time was, you know...
Okay, 1980s. It used to be...
Your bigger companies, your
corporations
had those type where you take the phone off the hook and then you put it on the modem in order to get internet access that way.
Yeah, this one says it was the 80s.
Okay. And then computers and technology started to catch up to where, you know, basically they had built-in modems, but you still had to plug in a landline to it. It was still the same thing, but a little bit different. And nowadays, everything can be wireless.
Yeah. Man. How many times faster are we? Let's see here. So standard internet speed's about, what would you say, 100 or 200 megabits?
Somewhere in that neighborhood.
And then we'll divide that. So let's do a calculator here. So internet speed, let's just say even the satellite, which is 30 megabits, right? Yeah. So that's... Divide that by 56. It's over 500 times faster than dial-up.
Yep.
That's how slow dial-up was. Mm-hmm. And that's even the slow internet today. But for most us, internet, that was most our, internet's th- that was over 1,000 times.
That was, we considered top of the world to have that in our house.
Mm-hmm.
That dial-up internet.
Yeah. With Windows, Microsoft Windows.
And you're still Windows nowadays.
Windows, the original Windows.
Mm-hmm.
Windows 95, Windows 98, Windows XP, Windows Vista, Windows 7. Windows 7 is still used a lot.
Yeah, but, and it's still considered, Windows 7 and one other one are considered the best Windows ever.
Windows 10 is really good. That's what a lot of people use still, but Windows 11 is actually the most current one, Windows 11.
Yeah.
Even though I haven't upgraded for free yet because I like Windows 10 and there's nothing wrong with it. Unless there becomes issues, you know, I'm not going to upgrade. I'm just going to wait for my next computer. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So. And it's just like now you don't have to have, you know, AOL in order to be on the internet. You can be on anything in order to get to the internet nowadays.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Like there's no boot up website yet to do.
Back then, no. AOL wasn't a boot up website.
Oh no, it was a
you actually got date smart marketing here.
Uh-huh.
They would literally they just mail you these disks.
Oh, it was
for AOL.
Okay.
And then, you know, once you signed up on AOL, I think like it was a monthly fee or annual fee, I couldn't remember.
Sure.
You know, you just paid whatever and mm-hmm. then you had access to the internet from that point on.
Gotcha.
But AOL, you had chat rooms and there was chat rooms for anything that you wanted. Like, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like if you were in racing, there was NASCAR chat rooms. Mm-hmm. There was drag
it's
racing
like,
chat
yeah.
rooms. You know,
it's kind of like Reddit nowadays. Like there's Reddit chat rooms and all.
Pretty much. Yeah. Nowadays, anybody can chat about anything on the internet.
Oh, yeah. You can go to whatever thing. Yeah. Social media is really popular, of course. Mm-hmm. You could post your, you know, photos on Instagram, your thoughts on Facebook or Twitter or whatever.
Nope.
Yeah. Your opinions, your I learned this today, you know, whatever.
Well, it's just like what?
TIL today.
Yeah, before Google, you had Ask Jeeves.
Oh, yeah. And Yahoo search engine was pretty popular.
Yeah, Yahoo was a little bit popular back in the day, but everybody loved Ask Jeeves.
Jeebs.
Yeah, because you could just, you can give him a question and he give you different places to go for your answer.
And then Bing came out and nobody ever used Bing. They always use Google.
Well, Bing was okay. It wasn't.
I mean, Bing's still around.
Yeah, but nobody uses it.
I mean, it's so easy to just
go Google. Google's on everything.
All the Google devices. Yeah.
And it's just like,
because Google owns
Safari is all over AOL stuff.
Right. Because Google's like the main Android platform. I want to say it's Android is like the operating system, but Google.
I mean, you can use Google on the iPhone too.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think it comes standard on the iPhone. I know Safari is the one that comes standard on the
iPhone. Google Chrome is like one of the most popular browsers, yeah.
Yeah.
Because that's what they use on Microsoft Windows as well. Well, no, they use not Internet Explorer anymore. It's called Microsoft Edge. But people just, they click on Microsoft Edge and install Chrome, and then they use Chrome for everything. Because Chrome is just like, it's a great, you know.
It's actually quick on finding what you want.
Yeah, it's a great internet browser. Yeah, exactly. And you can boot up Google, and the user interface is really, really good. But, I mean, what are the new technologies that are coming out? Have you seen the new Apple headset or whatever that they've come out with? What is that called? An augmented reality headset or something like that?
Yeah.
Let me look it up here. The Vision Pro, is that what it's called? Yeah, Apple Vision Pro.
I know I'm going to get hate for this, but I don't really like Apple stuff.
No. They make good products, but they're like, so expensive, dude.
That's like everybody sitting here going, oh, you need to get a Glock. You need a good Glock. No, you know, I don't need Gucci stuff.
Glock's not Gucci, though.
I want something that's simplistic to use.
Glock is simplistic.
Yes, Glock is simplistic, but it's every time you turn around, somebody has a Glock and they're
proven reliable. Yeah,
it's
industry standard. Yeah,
and
90% of the people that carry Glocks,
I just don't like them.
No, there's nothing wrong with that.
I don't like Glock.
But before Smith & Wesson came out with their M&P, there wasn't really a good alternative.
Hey.
Unless you were micro-carrying like a car or something.
Hey, FYI,
What's up?
Smith & Wesson's been around longer.
No, but their guns weren't good to carry, though.
They had a lot of
Maybe guns. A couple of revolvers were good, but they didn't really have that many good semi-autos, to be honest.
When they got into the semi-auto department, they were a little late to the party.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Not too bad, but
the M&P line, you know.
Oh, no. The M&P line is...
They're great.
They just need,
they're great now.
The only thing I wish they could do with the M&P line is make the, you know, field stripping it a little easier.
Oh, sure.
I mean, because you have to hold it open... and then there's this deal down towards the magazine where your magazine goes in that you have to flick out in order for it to slide apart.
Yeah.
They want to where you know Berettas and a bunch of others. You just have to or like the SDs.
Mm-hmm. Like the SD are super simple.
SDs. Yeah. You just hold one thing down and off it comes.
Right.
You know you can remove the slide and barrel.
Mm-hmm.
And spring.
But yeah, the Apple Vision Pro, I don't know if you've seen it. I haven't really watched too much information on it, but apparently it's like a 3D camera.
Is that kind of a long deal there?
No. It says you can capture magical spatial photos in 3D and then relive those cherished moments like never before. They have spatial audio and stuff. But it's like a VR headset, but it's like, you can like customize it and stuff. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I don't know either.
It looks great, but it's pretty expensive, I think. Let's see here.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't even own a VR headset. I don't even own a MetaQuest or anything like that. Sony. What is it? PSVR, I think.
Yeah.
They have a new one coming out, or is already out, the VR2 headset or something like that. I don't even have nothing like that. I don't have no VR.
No, I don't have any VR.
All I have is just regular old.
I know one of our paramedics at one of our jobs.
Work. Oh, yeah, yeah. I've seen them. Yeah.
And they, I've played on one, but I didn't play on it.
Right. No, my sister
played on it when I went on vacation where we were at Sour Lake or whatever it was.
Oh, okay. Nice. Yeah, yeah.
I got to play with a VR set there.
Yeah, yeah. They're fun. They're definitely fun.
No, and it's not when you almost knock people out.
Well, you got to like set safety and you know stuff like that.
I knew the minute I put it on, I should have been outside away from everything.
Cause you're going to go crazy. Yeah, dude. I mean, honestly, like it's one of those things, like same thing with the Wii remotes. When the Wii first came out, people were throwing the Wii remotes at the TV cause they didn't have the wrist straps on. Yeah. So people were breaking their TVs cause they would throw the Wii remotes.
Oh yeah. I remember. Yep.
Oh man, yep,
I had a Wii.
Yeah, like Wii baseball, back. Man. You would like, you get all into it, right? And you just smack, just crack the TV. It's like, ah, oh, come on.
Yeah, that's something.
Golf was another one, right?
That's something I'm actually trying to do. I want to collect all gaming platforms.
Sure.
All of them.
I didn't really care for the Wii U, to be honest. Like, I had it because Pikmin 3 was on the Wii U only. And it was like a Wii U interface. That was why I got
that. Sounds like the Minions. Wii U.
Yeah, the Wii U. Yeah. That's the only reason I got the Wii U was for Pikmin 3. And then I didn't even really play Pikmin 3. It was so weird. I literally bought it. And then I was like, I forgot why I got it,
instant
I guess.
Instant regret.
Yeah, it was like instant regret. I'm like, this is terrible. And then I gave it to my brother. So here you have it.
Yeah, no.
Because I got a Switch like a month later or something like that. It was like pretty soon after I got the Wii U that I got the Switch.
Yeah.
Because everyone's like, oh, the Switch is so much better. I mean, it is better, but it's still not great. Like, they need to release a new gen already because...
Well, it's... What?
They're falling behind. They've got the PS5, the Xbox Series X.
PS5, though, I think has been having issues lately.
No, it's not. Not the PS5.
There's one of them that's been having to go get fixed.
I haven't heard of anything like that.
I've stumbled across. No, it hasn't been an Xbox. I stumbled across it one time. Somebody had brought it up. I don't know if it was like the first run of the PS5s or whatever, but some people have been running into issues with them.
I haven't heard of anything like that. I mean,
I think I came across it like on TikTok or something that one time. I mean, don't hold me to it, but you know. All right.
Anyways.
Yeah, I think we've been gnawing at the bit here long enough.
Yeah.
Just go around.
Sure. But it, you know, I always enjoyed.
Next week, I think we can do it again. I believe, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, either next week or the other one.
Let's see.
Expect an episode next week, I guess.
Well, right? Hang on. Let's see.
Oh shoot, you're looking it up. Sorry.
Yeah, let's see here. Yeah, next week, the 19th.
That's not next week. Today's the 8th.
Yeah, today's the 8th. Oh, sorry, 14.
9 look like the 4 or what?
Tell me.
It looks like a 4.
It looks like a 9 to me.
Look what the 9 looks like over here. Does it look the same?
A little bit.
Let me see. Oh, yeah, you're right. It does kind of look the same when you look at it. Yeah, I mean, if you're...
The 14th. My apologies. It's going to be the 14th.
So, yeah, that is next week. Okay. So, sweet. So, yeah. We'll probably end up recording next week as well.
Yeah, we'll probably go on another one. We'll probably come up with some better material and everything to discuss.
Hey, we're literally just...
We just threw this
together. Shooting from the hip.
Yeah, shooting from the hip because it's been a while.
Yeah, introduction back. But
hopefully we can, because we do want to get this thing going off the ground a lot more than what we are doing, and we want to make it to where it's its own animal, its own beast, if you will.
Oh yeah.
So we'll have to start really working to get this thing rolling in the proper direction and everything, to where it can stand on its own 2 feet.
Mm-hmm.
And to where, you know, who knows, maybe we can walk away from at least one of them.
You never know.
Keep one ambulance, walk away from one of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because we both work two different ambulances. So
living that EMS life.
Mm-hmm. Everyone earn money sleeping. That's right. Earn money sleeping. EMS.
No. It's eat, mop, sleep. No, I mean.
Yeah, there's that one too.
All jokes. EMS yeah. humor.
Hell yeah. So,
thanks for sticking with us, guys.
Yeah.
If you're still listening.
And again, apologize for the hiatus. It wasn't intentional.
It was a long hiatus, man.
It was just with everything going on, we were getting hammered with our jobs and everything. And
a lot of sub drama. Super unnecessary.
A lot of personal stuff that, you know, occurred during, you know, our hiatus as well. So,
oh yeah,
you know,
it's been crazy time, but that's life, you know.
Yep.
So
life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're gonna get.
Mom always said, my name's Forrest Gump.
Rick from Rick and Morty.
What?
Rick from Rick and Morty.
Oh, Rick is like, what does he do? He does,
Hey, Morty, I got a new idea for us. We're gonna, you know, Morty, come on, just come over. I don't even know. Just come over here.
Right. All right, that's enough fun, guys.
Don't be a wussy, Morty.
No kidding.
Anyway.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, until next week, I'm Gary.
And I'm Garrett.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Y'all have a good one.